Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're thankful we can study your Bible. Lord, this is probably one of the most important things I'll teach this year. Pray people will come. I pray people will learn. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. Empower me to preach the wonderful riches of Christ. And Lord, help me to strengthen my home and their home and the homes of others. We pray that you'll bless America today. I pray America will look to you, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. look at your Bible sheet that I have in front of you. You'll notice when you read chapter 1 of Genesis, God makes 7 positive statements and about his creation. 7 times in the Word of God in chapter 1, he records that God saw that it was good. Look at verse 4. Look at Genesis 1:4. And God saw the light. Are you with me in Genesis 1:4? He saw the light, and what did he say? It was good. I circled that. Look at verse 10. God called the dry land earth and gathered together of the waters, and he called the seas. And God saw it was good. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was, yeah. Look at verse 18. To rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was, boy, everything he sees, he likes what he sees. Amen. Look at verse 21. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, which every fowl, winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. This morning around 9:10, we had all kinds of winged fowl coming over my house called Canadian geese. Boy, I love that sound. Man, I just love to hear the, you know, how many ever watched birds in flight? Ducks in flight. It's just, aren't they tremendous? God saw them. He said, it was good. It was good. And notice in verse 25, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind. Yeah, that's why a cow can only make a cow. A horse can make a horse. A horse can't make a cow, and a cow can't make a horse. Because they have to make after their own kind. That's why if someone tells you they have a cat that had 5 dogs, you know the cat can't produce a dog. Don't believe them. They have to produce after their own kind. Amen? So I told you around a few months ago, someone said, and of course they caught her, but they had to take all kinds of tests. I didn't do any tests. This woman actually said her cat had 5 little puppies or something. Remember reading that about a month or two ago? And I told Rose, I said, there's no way. That cat didn't have no puppy. I said, that's impossible because God says we have after our own kind. I didn't have to take those puppies to a special lab and have all kinds of blood tests and all kinds of things, genetics. And they said, no, we don't think that. We think the lady lied. Mister, I knew, from Genesis chapter 1, I knew she lied. Notice, after their kind. And God saw that it was, yes, it was good. And then look at verse 31. How many got verse 31? Now, God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Boy, God, his creation was superb. I noted there, God was very pleased with his creation. And by the way, it was his creation. Didn't happen by accident. You didn't evolve. Evolution never happened. And everything came from the hand of God. Amen? The Creator. And only a fool said in his heart, there's no God. Well, the Creator of the world looked, after he got done, he said, you know what? This is good. But watch what happens, though. After you leave chapter 1, the creation, God finds something that wasn't good. Note your paper. When you read Genesis chapter 2, you will note that God saw something that was not good. Look at Genesis 2:18. Boy, up to this time, Brother Brian, everything's good. And very good. Now, but in Genesis 2:18, God sees something that's not good. Note, and the Lord God said, "It is not good." How many see that? That man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And so we see the Lord said it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Verse 20 also records, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. When God looked down from heaven and saw that man should not be alone, man said, God said, man, it's not good for you to be alone. I know, look at your paper. God looked down from heaven, saw that the man should not be alone. Man needs a wife. Man is incomplete without a wife. Brian, you're lost without your wife. David Ballard's lost without Tammy. Jimmy's lost without Kathy. By the way, fellas, you think so? Let me give you a little illustration. You can't even find your socks sometimes without your wife. Bobby, there's a lot of times I'm glad my head was attached, you know. I'll say, Rosie, I can't find this. I can't find it. Here it is, Richard. It was there all the time. Well, I couldn't find it. I'm going to tell you, God bless our wives. Thank God, Bobby Clifford would be, without your wonderful wife, Mildred, you'd be lost. God looked down and he saw Adam. He said, man, you're a basket case. He looked down and he said to the Trinity, this guy needs help. It's not good that he's alone. He needs help. You ladies, let me give you a great truth that Dr. Howes gave me years ago. You ladies, you are your husband's completer. Man is not complete without a wife. Man, look what God said. Look what God said in verse 18. God said, look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, who's speaking? Is it a preacher? Is it somebody else? It's God, isn't it? God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He didn't say woman shouldn't be alone. He said man. And so, I'm going to tell you right now, Mike Porter needs Belinda. Wade, you need Chrissy. And Billy, you need your wife. I'm telling you, Mrs. Turner. Amen? And Billy, you'd be lost without your wife. Lefty, you wouldn't know if you're left or right without your wife. Amen. And Mac, you wouldn't have a honeydew without Mary. That's one thing your wife said, honey, can you do this? Honey, can you do that? And your precious great-granddaughter that was just born, God's going to prepare her to be a helpmeet for some man if the Lord doesn't come back before she grows up. Isn't that special? God has a purpose for your life. Isn't that great? Now notice, look at the scripture says there in your paper. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. You might not understand what she is sometimes, but one thing God did say, she's a good thing. That thing you're married to, she's good. And whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Did you get a Bible lesson, Tommy?
No, I didn't.
Yes. Did Carl, did Jeannie and Eddie get one? Here. I want everybody to have them. Back page. Already. Thank you, Carrie. Now, notice your paper on the first page. if you have a wife sent from the Lord, man, you are blessed. Tito Mel, you are blessed. I'm glad you said amen, because you are. You are blessed. Brother Phil, you're blessed. You really are. I don't have to, Brother Brent, you're blessed. And I want you men to get this. If you have a wife sent from the Lord, you are blessed. We ought to act like we're blessed. We ought to be thankful. I truly believe God has a certain person for each person, but sometimes people marry before they get the right mate. That's so important. I believe God has someone for you. And teenagers should always wait until they find the right mate, the mate that God has for them. Too many times people marry before they don't marry the right mate, and they wonder why they have all kinds of trouble. You're going to have trouble anyways, but when you marry out of God's will, you really got problems. And that's one of the biggest problems with America today. A lot of people, because they're not taught about the will of God, because God's not taught in the home, they marry wrong. Then they wonder what's wrong with them, why we have 51% divorce rate. Hello? No one should ever consider marriage unless they know for sure that person they will marry is one sent from God in their life. See, I really believe God, I believe God sent me Rosie. I mean that. I believe when Rosie was born, God knew that she was born to be my wife. And I didn't even know her until after I got out of high school. Went to the same high school, lived within a few blocks of her. Grew up, never knew her until after I was out of high school. How about that? She was 1 year younger than me. Isn't that amazing? But God knew it. God knew when I was running all through North Cleveland, causing havoc. He said, one day that little girl, she's going to get saved. And she's going to take him to hear about Jesus. He's going to get saved. He's going to become a preacher. Can you imagine when Rosie's mom and dad held her and God looked down and said, boy, she don't realize it, but she's marrying that guy down from Galena Street. she thinks her life's rocking now. When she gets married, she's really going to have a rocky day. I want to make her a preacher's wife. Every time I counsel with people, I have to know in my heart that I believe, of course, only they, you know, I'm not God, but I won't marry unless I won't marry. First, they both have to be people that are saved, both saved people. I won't even consider that unless they're saved. And I don't even marry outside of my church. So once in a while, I make a few exceptions if the people are real faithful inside my church. But even that, I wouldn't marry. The number one, they have to be married. They got to be saved. Okay. And then when I counsel with people, I've got to believe in my heart that they really are meant to be. That I have to really feel in my heart that they're really meant for each other. Like it's really God's will. Or I won't marry them. I'll start counseling, and after a while I'll just say, no, I'm not marrying you. I'm not marrying you. I don't believe God's in it. I'm not doing it. I'm not in part. You say, how can you do that? I got to stand before God and give an account. I have to give an account to what I for God, what I how I pastor, and I've had people say, "How can I?" Well, I had an older couple one time. I was counseling them, and then all of a sudden I just said, "Nah, you guys aren't meant to be." I said, "I'm not marrying you," and boy, they both in my office, they might even cuss me. I just let them go. And then all of a sudden, they started to cry, and they said, you're right. He couldn't wait to get his ring back. He didn't want to marry, but he was going to, it was so, I said, God's not in this. You got, and they went from being mad at me to hugging me and thanking me before they left. Thank you for not marrying us. I'll tell you, marriage is a holy institute that God's ordained for us, and He's got a helpmeet there for us. We need to make sure that we're with that right person. I believe Jeannie Wilson was made for Eddie. I really do. And you can tell when God matches people up. Bobby, there's no doubt in my heart that God meant for Mildred when you were. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I really believe that with all my heart. You can just see it bears witness. Are you with me? And so, marriage is important, and how we start off is very important. Now, look at what I put on your paper there. Marriage is a lifetime commitment and should never be entered into lightly without full assurance that God is in favor of the marriage. You know, nowadays kids think, well, I'm going to get married if it works, all right, if it doesn't. No. When people get married, they say, I'm doing this forever. Until death do we part. Marriage is a lifetime commitment. Now, what about preaching? Well, I've been married, but I've been divorced. Well, whoever you're married to now, you make that a lifetime commitment. You can't do nothing about the past, but you're married now. You stay forever. You stay forever till death do you part. I've got a family member when he grew up. I knew he was supposed to marry this one girl. I knew he was. I was a youth director, and I told Rose he's gonna marry her. And they got in a fight and went off, and she got married, and he retired, and he went and got married. They both didn't make it. They both got divorced. They end up a year or two later, they end up getting married. Now they've been married for years. But they should have waited on God. How many are with me? And if you've been divorced, and by the way, there's a lot of, and by the way, people that have been in divorces, I'm going to tell you, those people have been hurt. You don't have to push people down and make them second-rate citizens that have been divorced. They've already went through all kinds of heartache beyond what you understand. Like the heartache I'm having right now with that stinking bell. Notice, boy, this is some phenomenal stuff. Now let's look at the first marriage in the Bible. Adam and Eve, and I'm glad it wasn't Steve, amen, is the first recorded marriage in the Bible. God saw Adam's need for a wife and gave him Eve. Now let's think about some facts about that first marriage. First of all, man was made in the image of God. Look at Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image. How many see that? Woman was made from man. Man was made for God's glory. Woman was made for man's glory. How many see that? And look at, I'm going to give you this last talk because I know the bell's going to ring. And we're going to really get into this next week. It's some great, I'm telling you folks, I've got some phenomenal stuff here. I mean, some tremendous stuff here. And, look at Genesis 1:26. Let me see Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man. It's a Trinity. Let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness. And so God created man, verse 27, in his own image. Did you notice something? First of all, how was man made in God's image? We were Trinity. God, we're body, soul, and spirit. God's a Trinity. Amen? But notice, where'd man come from? God just took dust and created him out of nothing. Man was created. There's a big difference between being created and made. When you create something, you bring something forth that did not exist. Look at 2:22 of Genesis. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. He made woman, he created man. How many see that? Look real quickly. I know the bell's going to ring. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 7 through 9. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Who is man the glory of? God. Who's the woman the glory of? Man. I'm working on something. You'll see this next week. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was for the man. The woman was made for man. It's quiet in here. The woman was, the purpose for woman was to be man's helpmeet. Because God saw that man was incomplete. I can't emphasize to both the men and the women here how important the role of the woman is and how important the man role to the woman is. We're going to look at those roles in the future as we go through this. But woman, she was made for one purpose. To help that, be the helpmeet. Not the helpmate, the helpmeet. She was to meet his needs because he was incomplete without her. Amen? And, I turn your page. We'll start. I know the bell's going to ring. And make sure we won't have to pass the papers out next week because we've already got them, right? If you don't forget them, we hope you won't. Keep them in your Bible. Fold them up. Leave them in your Bible so when you come, you'll have them next week. But notice, look at Genesis. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. Let's, page 2. You got page 2? There's four pages. There's going to be more than four pages. This is just the first of four that you're going to get. Notice what it says there in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Huh. Remember when you go in surgery? Who comes in first? The anesthetist. That's where they got this at. God's Bible is so far ahead of medical science. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, took one of the ribs. They tell me that women have one more rib than the man. I'm not sure, but it makes sense to me. I'm told that women have one more rib than a man. I don't know about that medically. No one's ever, but I've heard that. And I know the women, since they've been made, they've been in the pain of sight ever since. No, I'm just kidding. kidding. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I know the bell rang. Give me a thought. Let me give you a thought here. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. You ever talk about bone marrow? You can't get no more than that. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. I'm going to tell you next week we're going to get into about the man and the wife and the home. And I hope you won't miss one of these lessons. Now, I know you can read what I put there, but let me teach it to you. It'll come more alive to you when I teach it to you. But, alrighty. Next week we'll begin on the home. I'll leave you with this thought. Hey, Wade, can you imagine Adam? He never saw a woman in his life. Think with me, Billy. God puts him asleep because it wasn't Sunday football games yet. And he wakes up, Brent, and here's this gorgeous woman in front of him. Wow! 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 Woo-hoo-hoo! I'll talk to you about it next week. Think about it. He never saw a woman. There wasn't a woman. And he wakes up. And I believe she was beyond, I believe she was gorgeous. I do. Can you imagine wake up? Hello. Yabba dabba doo. How many think he was excited when he woke up? I'm trying to get out of this. Now, I want to give you a thought for next week. I know the bell rang. Hold on. That he knew what God had gave him. Because I believe God said, Adam, I'm going to put you to sleep, and when you wake up, I'm going to give you a wife. I'm going to give you a helpmate. He woke up. How many think he was excited with what he saw? How many believe he thought, how many believe when he woke up and saw, he knew it was from God? Amen. Every day you wake up and your eyes see that what God gave you, you ought to be excited. She don't look like when I first married her. No, she don't. You ought to look in the mirror, buckle. Either do you. We ought to be as excited about our bride like the first day we put our eyes on her. Even though it's years that we should still be excited about our bride. I'm going to have a great time teaching this. I got a lot of great stuff from another old-time preacher that I'm going to be talking to you about. It's some good stuff. I'm telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss a class. Bring families. If you know married couples, let me teach them the Bible. We're going to have a phenomenal time. Trust me on this one. I'm telling you, this is good. This is above average stuff what I'm going to give you. And it's a lot of it's all new stuff. When we get in this, you're going to see some stuff that preachers never showed you before. And it's going to be good. Don't miss it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Bobby, lead us in prayer, would you? Bobby, Michelle.